Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's good, Seattle? I'm Austin Walker. You are listening to Waypoint Radio, episode 93.
Is that right?
I think it's right.
Yeah.
It's close enough.
It's correct. It's correct.
It's correct. Yeah, it's 93. Correct. Got it right. That is the sound of everyone clapping for us at the Sphinx Theater in the beautiful Sheraton in downtown Seattle. I'm Austin Walker. Joining me on my left, Danielle Riendo. On stage left, Danielle Riendo.
Hi, how are you?
You can't just
I can't
fix
do
it by looking to the right and saying,
right.
Oh, I was wrong.
That's Danica Harrod.
Danica Harrod. Herod. It's actually Herod, and we get it wrong all the time. Danica.
Hello.
And Patrick Klepek.
Hello.
How's everybody doing today? We are going to start by doing something that we've been meaning to do for years.
Two years.
2 years ago, Patrick and I decided that a really great podcast to add to the Waypoint Network, well before Waypoint existed, was a show called Donuts and Grievances. Now, I know what you're thinking. We don't have any donuts up here.
Don't worry. We got grievances.
We got grievances.
The concept was when Austin joined Giant Bomb after I had gone over to Kotaku, and I was like, hey, man, this is a weird fucking website.
Yeah.
Spent 4 years here. Do you want to go have a mediocre steak and talk about joining a weird website?
And so we went to the Tap House Grill a couple blocks away to get some mediocre steak.
And actually,
it was actually
when we looked at the price of the steak, I was like, yo, we paid less than I thought.
$18 steak is pretty good.
I thought $25 in my head.
Me too.
And at the end of it, it's funny because that turned out to be sort of like the genesis of Waypoint. Like, we ended up going like, maybe we should have worked together.
Yeah, maybe. And 2 years later, we also built an incredible team around us, and like, it's been fantastic. But what we decided we wanted to do was like, what if instead we don't work together now? It's not going to happen. Who
right.
knows? We should do a podcast called Donuts and Grievances, in which we eat a donut.
It's the antithesis of the bombcast, which is like 3 hours. Who has time for 3 hours to listen to a podcast?
That's just Danica. That's it. Just also all of the people in this room who listen to the podcast every week. And also listen to
I would
to
say that every
hours.
Time that I participated
right.
in a three-hour
right.
podcast.
Exactly.
Who has time for this?
And in the time that it would take to eat a donut, you air a single grievance.
Yeah.
And then you get it out of your system. And so, like, I think it's kind of like a lifestyle, frankly. Like,
mm-hmm.
In the time that it takes you to eat a donut and consume that good sugary goodness, like, you can get through something that's been holding you up, that you've been upset about for a while. So
it's like game-related. It's just like, man, just like...
So...
Wait, really quick.
Yeah.
We do breakfast in Battlegrounds a lot.
True.
You have not once had breakfast.
That's not
involved.
True. I've eaten breakfast during
I've
breakfast
seen the coffee come out of your mouth.
Coffee? Yes. Yeah, I saw that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Coffee counts. Coffee's
it's
breakfast.
It's correct.
I often eat a Luna bar right before we go live. I'm not too proud.
We have Luna bars at the Vice office.
They're free.
That's what we have. They're free. I'm probably going to die from overdose of Luna bar. Like, if there's some secret ingredient in them that's not actually good for you, even though
I'm not
like,
sure it's a secret
food.
If it kills you.
You're right.
Fair. So, we should start. We should start. Pretend we have donuts. We were going to go get donuts with
Patrick got us
clothes.
Donuts this morning.
And
we
ate
got
them.
Impatient.
We ate them.
That's yeah,
what
we ate them.
There were no grievances. The grievances was that we didn't have more donuts and we just ate the ones I bought.
So, let's start with you, Patrick. What is your, in the time it would take you to eat a donut, air a single grievance?
Okay. So, the woke gamer, a.k.a. me.
Yes.
A.k.a. Patrick Klepek.
Yes.
Well, when I came to PAX, I had this idea. I was going to buy this t-shirt. I'm going to try and...
What kind of t-shirt?
An anime t-shirt.
Okay.
I went on Etsy.com, a website to buy things, and I wrote in anime. And then I got the result that said, funny anime t-shirt. I was like, I love being funny.
You love anime?
You love anime.
The other parts just come with it. And there were these terms, phrases.
Try to pronounce any of them. But with your regular voice.
Sundere.
Kind of close.
So anyway, so I tried to buy the shirt. They guaranteed me. I was like, hey, can I send you guys like extra money and like have it show up by Wednesday because I'm getting on a flight? And they were like, don't worry. It'll be there on Wednesday. And it showed up on Thursday.
Of course.
And so I tweeted out that I was upset that this shirt didn't show up. And then the response to this, I want you to translate. The grievance is that all of the responses to this tweet for all of these words, sundere, yandere, Kududere, dandere, hemdere, deredere. I don't know what any of those words mean. I don't even know what the joke is.
It's not a joke.
It's a joke on me.
It is a joke on you.
And so the response is, I want you to explain this tweet from some sort of Kotaku writer, Geeta Jackson.
Oh, okay.
It's not like anything you wanted, a shitty anime t-shirt or anything, comma, baka. Yeah, I know. I've got the jokes. What the fuck does that mean? My grievance is, all of the response tweets are just...
baka?
No, there's other things that I just don't understand.
Patrick, I want you to just come over to my
Dere day, Patrick. Dere day.
We can fix this.
You are such a... It looks like tsunami.
It's not.
To sundere, Scoops.
You are kind of
You
tsundere.
Are 100%. 100%.
What's a baka?
A baka is a dumbass.
How do you feel about
that? I know
that?
Baraka.
That's... He's kind of a baka.
He's... Yeah. That works,
it
right?
It does. So do you want to...
Give me the history of baka.
No. What's the history of your life?
You hired me.
I'm not saying I'm not also a baka. I love it when two bakas come together. That's really...
Is that a do baka?
Okay. Bad. Bad. What does it mean? Does it... Danielle, what is your grievance?
I have two.
You have
but
two
they're
grievances.
Quick.
Okay.
I'm a little sick. That's why I'm slamming Pedialyte here.
Okay.
She's slamming the stuff that I give my kid when she's dehydrated.
It's pretty much great for hangovers, too.
Yeah,
I'm
you
not
just hungover.
Hungover.
When you say sick.
I have not had a drop of alcohol in like 3 weeks.
We were drinking last night.
I was
what are you talking about?
I was drinking water.
Okay.
It's the
same.
It's the truth.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well...
Baka.
Clearly, we got a baka situation. Here's a very disturbing, actually
episode
true story.
Title.
Episode title, yeah, baka
situation.
Baka situation, you know what it is. I left my lovely Airbnb bedroom yesterday. Everything was in order. Everything looked fine. There was no blood on the bed. When
okay.
I came back...
Wait. Pause.
No.
I'm out.
No.
I'm in the same Airbnb.
Okay.
Patrick, did you have any blood on your bed?
Baka.
It doesn't mean anything. That doesn't work. Continue.
There was blood on the bed when I got back.
Like a lot?
No, but it was very clearly blood. I know what blood looks like. I'm an EMT. And it was like 2 a.m. when I was like getting ready for bed, and I was just like, oh God. This is possibly has pathogens in it. So I put hand sanitizer on it.
There are other sheets.
You just like sprayed it?
Yes.
And then like, well, time to get on these blankets.
Good enough.
Pretty much. Yeah.
You talked to Patricia?
Yes. We both determined we have no idea where this came from. Legitimately.
This is legitimately scary.
I am
actually
yeah. really freaked out.
Hey, did anybody here break into Danielle's apartment and bleed on the bed?
I'm really worried. If you did, please just tell me. It's fine. You know, I'm not going to judge you. It's PAX. Weird things go down at PAX. Like, you have a thing about bleeding on a bed. It's cool, man. Just let me know.
Okay, ahead of time. Agree to bleed on somebody's bed. That's fine.
You got to, you know, communicate about that kind of stuff, all right? That's all I'm saying.
I have a grievance.
Yeah.
I went to the movies today.
Oh, fuck. We have the same grievance.
Hell yeah. I'll get a different one.
Is the grievance that you went to the movie at 2 p.m. on a Saturday for PAX?
Listen, the two things
I'm walking around with you at PAX, and you're like, hey, do you want to go to lunch? He's like, no, I'm going to the movies. It's like,
the two things I did at PAX today were go play Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
And then go to the movies.
Yeah.
And then...
Drink some gamer juice.
Okay, we drank some gamer juice. That's true. Some G fuel.
Gamer juice sounds not.
No.
Gamer juice.
I think gamer juice was snowball.
On Danielle's bed.
Yeah, bad. That's what happened.
Bad.
I was gonna say it sounds like a snowball. Is what it sounds.
We'll get there. Don't worry. So I got a message from Giant Bones. Giant Bombs.
We were tricked.
Giant Bombs, Abby Russell, and Ben Pack. We should go see Good Time. That sounds like a movie.
Let's go,
210,
baby.
210. And we get there. That movie's not fucking playing at all. Like, at all. And so we got there.
Wait, whose idea was it?
Abby's. She tricked us.
Damn.
Also, Abby's message was like, I think someone spat on my foot. You want to go to the movies?
You're leaving out a part of that message.
I am leaving out part of it. It might not have been spit, is what I'm leaving out. So we get there, and it's like, oh, I guess we can see a different movie. And what we go to see is Annabelle Creation, the prequel.
Even I haven't seen that fucking movie.
The prequel to the Annabelle movie, which is itself a spinoff from The Conjuring.
Correct.
The horror film.
James Wan directing Aquaman right now.
Did he direct this Annabelle movie?
No, just a producer. Just cash that Annabelle Cinematic Universe check.
Here's my grievance. That movie has the devil in it. That's fine.
Wow, spoilers. I haven't fucking seen it yet.
I'm not going to see that movie. Cover your ears. Everybody who doesn't want to
cover your ears.
Annabelle, whatever, origins.
The ACU.
The Annabelle, like, cinematic universe, of course. There's a scene in which the devil is trying to, like, grab a little girl, because devil, and she, like, hits his hands with a flashlight, and he's like, ow, and, like, pulls away. But, like, nobody else ever just tries to fight the devil. Like, if you're in your movie where the devil can be affected by physical attacks, just fucking punch him. Someone has an axe for a moment in that. I just want consistent. Also, he, like, appears all these different places.
There's a really good part where he, like, comes down from the ceiling, but he's, like, upside down. And he's, like, and he, like, comes down from the ceiling.
There's also a bit where maybe this is your grievance.
So, my grievance is... There's this one little girl in the movie who ends up getting her soul taken. Spoilers, sorry. Cover your ears if you don't want to hear anymore.
Damn it! Like, you couldn't have, like, given me a heads up on this at all? I would have told you to pick a different bit.
We said spoilers.
We did after, but we said
there was a tag. You ignored it.
Anyway, so every time she's about to do some fuck shit in this house, she's like, forgive me, Father, for I'm about to sin.
Yep.
Every time.
And then also the devil snowballs into her mouth, and it's super
gross. The devil snowballs into her mouth, but it's blood, gross. And it's really bad.
Anyway, maybe we shouldn't have gone to the movies. Maybe we should have seen video games instead.
There were recliner seats that were very noisy. Every time the movie was silent, we're like,
Like, throughout the movie, also, there were trays. It was like one of these nice movie theaters that had reclining seats. Like, very nice leather.
It's right across the street.
You should go check it out. Don't see
Don't
Annabelle.
Don't see Annabelle.
Creation.
Don't.
But, like, there were these tables that just farted whenever you moved them in the middle of this very serious horror film. And the whole theater was, like, on the same wavelength.
Oh, the whole theater
and
was
just
laughing.
Laughed. It was
one
very
guy's
good.
Phone started going off. It was, like, some hip-hop, like, one of those old Nokia ringtones. He just let it go. Let it play the whole time.
I think it added flavor to the movie.
Yeah.
So, have people actually been to the show floor and not just gone to the movies and played Battlegrounds? Everyone see anything?
I've been throwing up, so.
Okay, yeah. So good. Classic waypoint. Patrick, have you played any video games while you've been here?
Yes. One of the more interesting games I saw was this Way of the Passive Fist. Okay. It's in the Indie Mega Booth. The idea is that the designers of the game are a bunch of hardcore fighting game fans. They watched that moment that I think even folks that aren't into fighting games were Daigo, like, counters, like, and, like, does this amazing finish for something where he had, like, no business actually winning, but being one of the greatest, like, fighting game players, like, he actually manages to pull it out. And they said that they would constantly look at people that are just barely into fighting games, and it's often offensive-minded. And, like, a lot of, actually, if you're advanced fighting game mechanics, is, like, defensive-minded counters, like parries, things like that. And so they wanted to make a game where they take away all your offensive tools and make you play, like, counter, parries, dodges. And so the only offensive option you have in that game is if you build up a meter that is because you are dodging all the enemies in the game. And so it's the style is 90s like Konami Capcom brawler, and as you're dodging each enemy, you're not weighing down their health meter, you're weighing down their stamina. And when their stamina is depleted, he like goes over and like pushes them with their finger and they fall over.
when you're the McGregor fight. Basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
Big sports audience here.
Yeah.
You got it.
I liked it. That was good.
He dragged
it. A plus.
So, like, you're facing a boss, like, a one that you can't actually just, like, do these counters for. You're using, like, the minions.
Right.
That's, like, a technical term.
I mean, I told you a joke earlier that you haven't passed on. You have to pay it forward, and you haven't done it yet, so.
I'm not going to do it to this whole audience.
I think you should.
I think you should.
Nope.
You're the dad here.
Nope. You non-dads passed it on to me. I'm not going to use the cursed joke from Steve Fulbosh Kim that he passed on to all of us.
What I need to know is, how are you not going to talk about the fact that you played a dating sim?
Oh, that's true. That is true. Speaking of blood on the beds, this is... I mean, just wait. This is not a joke.
What?
I'm into Bad Boys.
Oh my, the baddest, apparently.
You're into fucking Gremlins.
Patrick played Date or Die.
Yo, that's a good movie.
Date or Die, a game coming out sometime in the near future. By a friend of ours who's actually wrote some fanfic for the site, Arden.
Yeah.
It's like a Saw, but with dating.
It's like a Saw, but with dating. Like Saw the movies. Or like,
yeah. Or like Danganronpa, like these, like you're like caught in like...
How do you not know what Baka is? You fucking liar. Baka. Anyway, tell me about your experience. Who'd you date? Who'd you fall in love with? Huh? What was that?
Bad Boys. Okay. Uh-huh. The host.
So, I'm at... Do you want to talk about the host a little bit?
So the host, like, if there is one character in a game that is like, I don't want to interact with this character, but in a way that, like, you want to interact with them, but they're very obnoxious, Patrick ended up dating that host. But I really feel like it's because they're very similar, you know?
Like manipulative?
They both have irredeemable mouth from at Drill.
It's true.
Yeah.
I hope you are happy
Chewbacca,
together.
Chewbacca, you know? Chewbacca.
That's a different thing.
You're gonna Chewbacca.
Dave, have you played anything else? Have you actually made it to the show?
I played a lot of Rabbids. That's what I've been playing.
I can't
gonna
really
lie. It's real good.
On your Switch.
Yes.
Is that why you're sick?
I'm a little sick, all right? I'm just gonna keep going with that. This is not a prop. I just want you to know.
Okay. I haven't seen you take a drink.
This is legit. I have been drinking this whole time.
Can you show us?
Yeah.
We haven't seen it.
Right here. This is what I do. I bring it up to my face.
We don't have to talk through it. We know. It's true. She's drinking it.
She drank it.
Thank you. Feel better, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you for showing up.
Oh, yeah. It was a little dicey.
We played, like, I joked about, but I was serious about, we played Battlegrounds on the show. We waited in line.
Yeah,
we did.
Like, there was a moment this morning, I was like, that line's not that long.
It was not long. It was, like,
that long,
10 minutes.
It looked like 15 minutes. Like, we can do that line.
Yeah.
We got up to the top of it. They were, like, four people. I don't know. And then they put us out there, but you couldn't team up. There was no way to actually team up.
PAX _ Arena 17 could not add HP _ Omen 17.
Yeah, but we all played. I got 3 kills. I felt pretty good about it.
I got
fourth
a kill.
Place. You got a kill.
I killed someone with
a
pistol.
That game's still really good. We saw an amazing cosplayer, a player in the Battlegrounds cosplayer, who had like the whole.
Who is here? Who is in this panel?
Wait! Oh hey!
Oh yeah!
She's right there. Her cosplay.
Please stand up.
Please stand up. Briefly, and my favorite bit of this—it's so good. She's so good. It has a pan. Better.
She went.
I'm gonna just tell her story for her.
Yeah, tell her story.
She went to the Logitech booth, like walking by, whatever. They're like, "Oh, hold up." You need a chicken dinner, and just gave her a chicken to add to the costume, which is the best. So
even if she lied to us, that's a great story.
That's a great story.
We also played the other game in the Indie Mega Booth together, where we played together.
Oh, I played UFO 50, the game that Derek Yu was like curating / making.
Yeah, the designer Spelunky is putting together sort of like a mixtape of a bunch of.
And the pitch on it is really cool. It's like, have any of you ever bought those, like, 101 game packs for the NES or for Super Nintendo? And it's all just, like, weird bootleg games that are broken and are, like, not even off-brand Super Mario Brothers. Like, what if there was an off-brand Super Waluigi Brothers? Like, that is what the quality of them are.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, what if we did one of those where the pitch is, like, one game developer secretly made all these NES games, and this is 50 of them in one cart. And I played, like, 4 of them, and they're all really cool.
They're
and they
really
all have,
fun,
like... It's really interesting to see someone who is like a group of people who are really good at gameplay and mechanic design. They're just kind of like almost poems, right? Which is a weird way to think of it. But so one of them was a side scroller that I played. And you get to pick between five characters. And it's like, oh, this guy has a gun, and this guy has a sword or whatever. But they also have a thing where when you die, you just quickly reload in like Super Meat Boy or something. Or instead of dying, you can use a super move which does something in the world permanently and then makes you restart the level. So there might be a cliff that's too high to like climb, and the warrior, besides swinging a sword, can like freeze himself and can paralyze himself as a stone statue holding up a tablet that you can stand on. And so you like build a staircase over the course of five lives or whatever. It's really cool.
And you can respawn as like different characters. So if you need to like move one of those statues, you can respawn as the bomber and go and like, just destroy that.
Exactly. Yeah. And like that's the thing that's cool about it was like, this sounds like I'm talking about a real video game that's by itself that I would see in the Indie Mega Booth, but there were 50 on that cart. And so that's, I'm very excited to see that come out. That, to me, is like one of the things that I've seen so far that's been the best. I also saw Kentucky Route Zero on Switch, which is a fantastic series, a fantastic game that I lost all of my saves to.
Just have to play it again.
Well, now I get to on the Switch.
Yeah, I played like the first three episodes and said, I'm just going to wait till this game is finished. Hey, do you remember when we made all that poo?
Oh, we did make a lot of poo this weekend. That's true. What? All right, we should move on. That's we played Wadham.
Here. I think you both need this more than me, if that's what's happening.
We played Wadham, which is Wadham, Watam, Batam.
Either is probably acceptable.
Keita Takahashi game, creator of
Katamari Damashii.
Katamari and Nobi Nobi Boy, and some other great games. There's a lot of poo in that game.
Yeah.
And a lot of explosions.
What's the game about, like, connections, like connections to connections, like, you have a lot of enemies that are, like, eating each other, and, like, literally,
enemies,
like, you're hitting triangle onto
not enemies.
Poop.
Characters.
Yeah.
Friends.
Friends.
They all love
friends
each
that you
other,
eat and poop out, just like real friends.
Yeah,
just
that's
like
what
real
you do.
Friends. It's really colorful and bright and, like, entertaining. I think it was, like, one of the warmer things. And then you get through the fucking, like, oh, everybody loves each other, everybody loves to get eaten section, as it were. And then it becomes like a really hard platformer.
Yeah.
Or like,
he came over and apologized. He's like, you're going to lose. Like, and then we tried a couple of times. We're like, we lost.
Have you played anything?
No, just like what you've played. And I played Day or Die.
Oh, you played. Wait, who did you match with?
Six.
Oh, six is cool.
What does that mean? Good. Don't clap.
You're allowed to clap.
Are you upset
you
that
clap.
I got like a good character?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, gamers.
To be fair, the host is a good character and a very necessary character for that game.
But
the host is a gremlin.
Fucking gremlin.
So.
I'll drink to that.
Do we want to start taking questions from the question
bucket? What time is it?
You know, time for the questions.
Okay, yeah.
I want to shout
out question time.
Andy Clare and Samantha Coleman, who are respectively our question master and our bucket keeper.
Yes.
We have two buckets. And I don't know what's in either of these buckets, but here's what I know.
We separated them into light and dark. The dark bucket, you fuckers out there, probably asked us if Bastion fucks. That's what's in this bucket.
Why ask? We know already. I'm not even going to answer it. You want to start light or dark?
I think you start looking at light. I'm going to start going
through
dark.
We don't get
dark.
To look. We don't get to. It's
yeah,
a bucket. What are you talking
here.
About?
Get it. Okay. Here.
That's the whole point of it.
Danielle picks one light. I pick one dark.
Okay, but we don't look at it yet.
All right.
I'm not looking. I'm not looking.
No, you look at it. You look at the light one.
Oh, I look at it.
Yeah, what's the light one?
This question is for Austin.
Hi.
As one of the most knowledgeable persons alive.
Not true.
Which is the cooler tap on a water cooler, white or blue?
Oh, shit.
Thanks.
How did this not... Okay.
Did you ask yourself a question?
Yeah.
I think he did.
I wish I knew the answer.
It's blue.
It's blue.
It's blue.
It's blue. Oh, because out there, yeah, it's blue. I always hit the blue one. It's easy. That's easy.
Why? It stands out more?
Yeah, it stands out. Like draws my eyes to it.
Because blue is ice colored. Well, ice
white.
Is clear,
what
but like
are you talking about
blue makes you think of colder shit.
It does.
All right.
You sure?
My turn.
This is written in red on red. This is why it's a shitty dark question.
This came in after. So after you guys entered. It says, first of all, it's written in red ink on pink paper, which is going to blow my eyes out. Where is the question bucket? This is a box. It's all in, you know, your imagination is really what's going to drive it, you know?
It's a question bucket. Give me another dark one. Because we had buckets. That's not their fault. They didn't know.
Yeah, I purchased these.
Forgive me, Father, for I'm about to sin.
Fuck off.
Why does Patrick love anime so much?
It's a good one.
Baka.
To Sundari.
Oh, that's actually... That, yeah, okay, that plays.
Why do you love anime?
Actually, can we talk about why you don't watch anime?
Yeah, can
anime?
We talk about why you don't watch anime?
So it's not actually that I can't. It's that my wife became... I think I've said this on a podcast before. Like, my wife became convinced that tentacle porn, hentai, is all anime. And like, she had like some sort of bad experience when she was younger. Like, you know, you try some things when you're younger. And
like
sometimes tentacle porn like comes into it. And like, it's a bad experience. So I like tried... And she was like... Spirited away. It's just like nice people, like being nice. And she's like, it'd be tentacles. Like maybe they're like good tentacles.
I mean, I think you should just go home and be like, there's this really good anime. It's called Kill la Kill. Nothing bad in it.
Good joke.
Oh my gosh, this is the shit I like to see.
Okay, this is a long one. Okay. Whew. Oh, good. Good. Amazing. Get ready. In regards to Rob Zachney's story of catching his friends off guard with the sexual flares of the anime Hellsing, has there been moments that you've been caught off guard from friend recommendations? P.S. Not all anime is trash. Check out My Hero Academia and Little Witch
Academia.
Yes,
please. Please, both. Watch MHA.
So yeah, has anybody had a moment where it's like someone recommends? Ooh,
boy, yes. I had a roommate once upon a time. I'll just get some water here. Who recommended me, and God, I can't think of the name of it, but it's a very famous comic. It's a graphic novel about Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. It is Alice from Alice in Wonderland.
The Alan Moore one that's like super sexual.
It's super sexual.
American McGee presents.
Todd McFarlane's special sexual awakening story. I at the time, I was like, I don't know, 24 or 25, and I had no idea that this was like an explicit comic. I thought
explicit.
It was like, oh, this is cool. It's a graphic novel. That's nice. And then there's like Dorothy fucking her father. And I was like,
forgive me, father, for I'm about to
say.
Okay.
Bad. Terrible. Like, actually offensive. Fuck. Unbelievable. Patrick left.
Good.
Anyway, I knew a lot more about that roommate after that happened. And that was interesting.
I don't think I have anything else to add to that. Can we go to the dark bucket now if we need to? If that's possible?
Why is Left Eye's verse always cut from No Scrubs radio play?
Yo, good question.
That's a great fucking question.
Yeah, this is the dark bucket because I'm about to hurt somebody over this.
Good.
It's a good verse.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a great verse.
Yeah, especially like Left Eye passed away.
I think that like the radio just will inherently cut like rap from.
That's
from
actually true.
From, mainly like, singing that, vocal songs. Yeah. That's just like what they do.
So racism is what you're actually saying. Actually,
100%.
That was like the weirdest thing growing up for me was definitely hearing which songs with rapping in them got play on like either a rock station or on a pop station, and which ones didn't. That's changed a lot, I think. Like, I think in the last 10 years especially, a lot more hip-hop has crossed over into on the pop stations.
Well, so like, it's the opposite, where there's like a lot of hip-hop with like pop parts in it. As opposed to like when we were in the Starbucks yesterday listening to like Endless Mariah Carey, and we're like, yo, this was a good-ass album.
Really good.
And then all of a sudden, Jay-Z
really
like dropped the bit,
Jay-Z.
And we were like, fuck, like this is a Mariah Carey song that just happens to have Jay-Z
like really
in it.
Jay-Z
when
person.
These days, it would be the opposite, where it's like a Jay-Z song that just like happens to have Mariah Carey in it.
Yep. Yeah.
She wants to pillow fight in the middle of the night.
Who doesn't?
You know?
Yeah. Damn.
That's what happens.
All right, let me do another real one.
Who doesn't?
I'll let you grab
a real one? Excuse me. I appreciate the dark bucket.
No, I'm trying to break down the light dark binary.
Oh,
okay?
I got a pink on pink here, but.
Okay. Oh, that's the good shit.
Yeah. You know, that really is. All right. When the Waypoint podcast goes off script, how do you decide when to lean into it and when to get back to the planned program?
Okay, planned.
Presumptive.
We almost never have. You guys, like...
We do not enough planning.
We have notes.
Right.
We have like, a little outline of, like, okay, who played what? That sort of thing. And then, like, oh, the question bucket, which we pick, actually, sort of randomly. So...
But I will say that there are moments when you know that you're going off onto a good tangent. So, like, the Taylor Swift thing a couple weeks ago was something that was like, oh, hey, we're going somewhere good. We should give this time to develop.
I want to know what happened. Like, that guy, I wish he would follow up.
I bet he
did. I don't think he knew that, like, we were going to talk about his question.
Yeah, he did. He wrote us a book question. What? He wanted us to answer that question. He may have also DM'd me and said, I sent you a question. Like, Okay, I realized this the other day, which is, like, the only people... We talk shit about a lot of things on this podcast.
Yes.
We really do. The only time anybody has ever been like, don't talk shit about my thing, Taylor Swift.
Yep.
Tom Brady.
Yes.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. Well, it's true.
I've never seen them in the same place
at the same time. I've never seen them in the same place at the same time.
They're like, basically, Tom Brady is the Taylor Swift of the NFL, as far
as
I'm concerned.
Taylor Swift is the Tom Brady of pop music.
That's all I'm saying.
Her new, her new song was...
Okay, well, let's not right. Listen. There could be people right here.
I have a dark question now.
Okay.
What's the sexiest PUBG weapon?
Sexiest?
The car 98K.
Yep.
Okay, you can't just go for the best.
No, it's the sexiest.
No, that's
it's
also
action.
The accurate.
Not, yeah, it is. Like
maybe the Omp 9.
Oh,
that's a kind of elegant. So that,
What was that one? See, I like the clunk, clunk.
That's sexy.
We've different definitions
of sexy. Yeah.
That's all that is. What about you?
I like the micro Uzi.
Yeah.
I actually.
You know.
I have an off. Yeah. Wow, that was a good sound. I think that the Jeep.
Oh, that's yeah, a good, that's a good.
We've got that Jeep funk.
What's the sound, Auntie Knuckles? Do the sound.
It is. It's a good funk. It's bow chicka bow
wow. Oh, I love that song, Auntie Knuckles.
It's really good.
You're doing
you know
a great
what I'm saying?
Job. I love
what's
you.
Happening?
I love you.
Yeah, how's Bobby doing these days, by the way?
Bobby's doing good, Bobby.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
I'll tell her you said hi.
All right, good.
Hey,
yeah.
Waypoint.
Tell her I said hi, too.
Oh, I gotta tell her.
The Giant Bomb guys asked this question, and I'd like to put this wonderful group of minds to it. If artistic movies are referred to as films, what should artistic games be called? Ben Pack, did you just write this question for us? Yeah.
How about gilms?
Like game films?
Yeah, like yes.
Like game films.
Yes.
Answers over.
Anybody have a better suggestion?
How about playable poems?
Oh, playable poems.
Playable poems.
Well, you can't just say that. Something doesn't have the flow of film.
You shorten it. It's pee-pee.
Nope. Oh, man. I went to Annapurna. Peepees. They had a lot of pee-pee in there.
It's a lot of pee-pee.
Patrick?
I defer.
Okay. The person who wrote it to Ben was actually Interactivities, which is a very good...
Oh, that's
like
great.
Like, shitty answer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I
Someone only asks that question when they have zero answer to the question.
Right, totally. All right, dark
Fair.
Bucket.
Dark time.
It's dark time.
It's a dark time. Here's a long one.
In the dark bucket?
Uh-oh. Pink the questions pink are pink. Always better when they pink take more pink. Time.
Dan, decipher. Okay.
Okay.
Is it Riker?
No.
Like, I know
I see
him,
what
but
else
like,
is in the dark bucket.
Riker.
I already spent three hours with him today.
Dan Riker from GiantBomb.com believes he can beat a wolf in a fight.
Fuck off. He doesn't anymore. He's admitted he's wrong.
All right. Besides Continue. The point, this is an important question. What animals do the Waypoint crew believe they could prevail over?
What's the? Can I rephrase it? What's like the biggest or most dangerous one you think you could actually beat? Danielle's gonna say a human. See, she's nodding.
Pretty large humans as well.
What are like a bear? Could you beat a bear? Could you beat like a?
Well, I could like break a bear's arm pretty quickly.
Wow, that you said that definitively.
That's a lot.
But while it's still killing you, it's like I broke your arm pretty good.
I mean, you
not
know,
not bad.
Yeah. I would at least do some damage there.
Can I be really rude, real quick?
Sure.
I think you could kill a wolf. I think you could be the wolf. I don't think Dan Wright.
Thank you.
So I think that means you two need to fight.
Not to you, to Dan.
Oh, okay, that's
so
fine.
That means that you two need to fight. All right, just boxing.
I would watch.
Only boxing.
So only boxing.
Go to Danielle.
I would fight him.
Like a cat, I could. Could
this
we make
a challenge?
He's what? I don't know. 165-ish.
Maybe.
Is that a diss?
I don't know. I just the way she said it was.
I just okay. Look, when you train a lot of fighting, you size people up a little bit. Also, when you're an EMT, because you have to lift people, so you kind of.
You're saying you're gonna lift Dan?
Oh yeah, throw him around. Insulting the man. I'm just saying, like, if he presented to me, if he was like, hey, we could have, like, a fight.
Don't.
He presented to me.
Danielle.
Do not say it like that.
Fucking, you're a writer.
All right. Side.
Use
side,
your words.
Side story.
Or don't sometimes.
I'm just saying.
What's a side story?
Side story really fast.
Uh-oh.
We went to the improv postmortem panel last night, which was great. Afterwards, we left to go hang out. Danielle got stuck behind. She sends us a message. She goes, I just want to just say this because Danielle sometimes doesn't like, you know, she says a lot of words that are really funny, but like we're like cracking up and she's like, what? She sends us a message. She goes, hey, where'd you all get off to? LOL, I got snowballed.
Which she, means a different thing.
She gets to the bar and I'm like, do you know? And she's like, what are you talking about? So that's
in my defense. I was trying to be funny and use a word with lots of imagery, like a snowball. But
there's a lot of imagery.
Like a group.
There's a lot. Don't worry.
I know, you like roll down a hill and you're like, no. Calamari, snowballs.
That's what I meant.
I could probably beat, all the animals I could beat in a fight would be very like nice animals that I would never want to beat in a fight.
Oh.
I'm weak.
I can teach you things.
Thank you. Could you?
I could teach you how to throw somebody right now.
Could you train Danica to beat Dan Reichert up?
Hell yeah.
We could jump him.
Jesus Christ. This went from like fair fight to like find him in an alley. He's got to walk places.
I'll call him to an alley.
Yeah, exactly. I know he walks that dog. He has to go outside.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah, give us an animal and then we got to.
I think it's like a cat.
You would fight a cat? You
no,
are
I could beat
so
a cat.
Fucking mean.
Sometimes a cat is shitty.
That's true.
I love cats.
I know, same.
I
but
love
they're
cats.
Sometimes really bad.
I lost a cat this year, by the way.
I know, about. I'm sad
it's
about that.
I'm about to lose a cat, so.
It sucks.
Really whatever. So, sometimes I just push my kid over because I can.
Patrick, every time anybody meets Patrick for the first time here at PAX, he's like, oh, hey, how you doing? He's like, well, my kid's still alive, so I must be doing okay. But he says it every time, and one of these times, I'm very afraid he's not going to be able to say it.
I got a text message.
Oh, my God.
I pushed too hard.
I pushed her over.
All right.
That's not a question in the dark bucket, is it?
No.
Wow.
How would you suggest organizing and storyboarding a Twin Peaks tabletop game? Any specific playbook you'd recommend?
Oh, man, that's
from
a good
JV
question.
Seattle.
Shout out to JV. Is John Yaki here asking about tabletop Twin Peaks games?
That'd be good.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of tabletop games are like about fighting things and not about like exploring and having your mind blown.
Mythology.
I think there was a game I played recently called Tales from the Loop, which would do it really well. That game is actually maybe a little more E.T. or Stranger Things, but is very good at setting up like a mystery and having you kind of play as kids inside of like a vaguely sci-fi world in the same way that like in E.T. there just happens to be government men who know about aliens. And that game is really good from the GM side for setting up a mystery and having it kind of slowly unfold. So that's my recommendation. They do it a dark.
Yeah, you're the only one who knows about tabletop in this room.
True.
This is my weird shade
about tabletop games.
I guess. I don't know.
I want to play more tabletop games. I was just like, I need pointers from.
I'll give pointers at some point.
Here, I'll ask you for pointers using this dark question, which is Danica do the voice.
Oh, fuck.
Uncle Austin, I was just really thinking about is maybe getting into some tabletop games. I'm only 4 years old, but
I can't understand anything you're saying. Thank God.
Here, let me make it more understandable.
My mom told me that I could go to the store with my Uncle Austin and maybe pick up a nice video game for the table. She said.
It's not what that.
She said. Ask Uncle Austin for his opinion, and maybe he'll help me out. So can you please help me out, Uncle Austin?
I'm like a little scared. I don't have any siblings, so how do I? Dungeon World is the thing I'm always going to recommend in tabletop games. Like,
it's real good.
If you haven't seen it, we did a really great stream with Adam Coble, who is the co-designer in Dungeon World.
Who's also here. Like,
he's here somewhere.
I've
been at like 5 events with Adam Coble. I've never met him in person. So at some point, we'll do that. That's my suggestion. That wasn't dark. Who put that in the dark bucket?
That was kind of light.
Do the voice. Oh, do the voice. Do the voice was the dark.
Oh.
So I did the voice.
That's fair. That's fair.
No, that's fair.
My name is Mr. Dr.
Nope. I'm going to read another question. I can't live with this. What's the plan with Zelda Permadeath? I'd love it to be bi-monthly if it were consistent again. I would also love it to be bi-monthly if it were consistent again.
I want him to fucking die already.
I won't die. I can't die. So for people who don't know,
if you can't keep playing, you can't die.
That's exactly it. Undefeated. What's
universe
good?
Universe brain.
Exactly.
Right there.
Yes.
That was good.
We... so for people who don't know, Permadeath was a series we've been doing on and off for the past year, basically, in which I had three lives to try to beat The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. I've gotten through one Divine Beast, which people probably don't know because that archive isn't anywhere. You can't watch it.
A little video,
we have
hold
it,
up.
So what happened, we have is it, it's just not,
we
it's not
started
up
a TV show, which is cool, mm-hmm. but that means our production team is making a TV show and not like running our production booth and getting archives up and stuff like that. So I kind of put a pause on Permadeath until we can get the rest of the archives up to date. So it felt weird being like, oh, I'm going to do a new stream for this thing. You haven't seen the last three episodes of it because no one's had time to archive.
We're
it.
Also the only Vertical at Vice who has like Vertical. Unplanned, like unscripted productions
yeah,
going
like, let's
on.
Play
we're
Knack.
Like, we need this on YouTube.
Oh, let's play
yeah.
Knack.
Yeah.
We wanna, tried.
We're going to play Knack at some point in the future. Okay.
Knackathon.
Knackathon.
Yeah.
At some point this year, we're going to do Knack to Knack. Patrick Klepek and I are going to play through all of Knack 1.
And Knack 2.
And Knack 2.
Ooh, that's a
raise
that's a
money
commitment.
For charity.
Hold
we're trying to raise
it.
Some money to charity. For charity. We don't
the charity is we're playing Knack.
right.
Mark Cerny will join
this,
us.
This is a one for Patrick, so pass that to him. Don't read it. Pass it to him.
Okay.
He needs to read it. Just pass, he'll know
pass
what
that
to
right
do.
Over.
Okay.
Damn. Where are my gamers at?
Right here, dog.
Gamers.
Is that the chant?
We're not getting a gamers chant going. We're not.
But
gamers,
I.
Gamers, 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 gamers,
gamers, gamers, gamers.
Can I stop? How do
gamers,
I end Waypoint?
Gamers.
What is this?
The power,
the power
of gamers.
Gamers compels
the power
me.
Of gamers.
No!
It's like the radioactive bite. This is Peter Parker. You
been that by a gamer.
Oh, no! Go to 4chan.
Oh. I will not. Oh.
You have to resist that, Austin. Resist it.
No,
have
resisting.
Some Pedialyte.
I'm taking questions.
Here. That just takes you to Reddit. It's like a slightly better.
I got
better.
Two here.
Okay, Reddit, yeah.
I got two here. All right. Ahem. As a straight white male,
hi.
What is the appropriate way to participate in discussions of the other in media, besides the obvious don't be an asshole, listen more when you talk, etc.? Thanks.
Patrick?
Let me just gamer question while I'm working through this.
What is...
He's eating paper.
He's chewing things.
Chewing things.
He
okay.
ate it.
You listen, right?
Listen.
Like, so one, like, in sort of my position is to try and be an advocate without sort of talking over, right? Like, I think that's, like, the key distinction is that if you're interested in, like, what queer, trans, like, you know, gender binary, like, all those things, like, you want to listen, you want to learn, but you also, in someone that has a platform and someone that has people that listen to them. Like, there is responsibility in speaking up for marginalized groups, because when I say something, I know, although it's unfair, there are certain groups that do listen to me because, like, oh, like, I trust what Patrick has to say, and, like, if he's like, hey, I should listen to this or listen to that, like, maybe they'll think about that. But you want to talk about that in a framework that doesn't feel like you're talking for those people. You're trying to introduce people to ideas. You're trying to talk about your own sorts of experiences. Like, I have a distinct remembrance when I was early at Giant Bomb, I did an endurance run with Ryan Davis over Chrono Trigger, and I remember a couple of years later, after it ran, I used what would have been, at the time, I didn't consider to be sort of a slur about trans people, but would have been something that later was like, hey, that's like not a word that's appropriate.
No.
And someone wrote to me and was just like, hey, you're someone that clearly cares about this stuff, and I just want to say it made me uncomfortable, but you're like an advocate for that stuff, but just, that was like a word you shouldn't use. And I was like, rather than getting upset, I was like, hey, you're right. Like, I didn't know any better. I'm glad that you wrote to me. I'm glad that you were understanding of my own ignorance. And I remember immediately trying to convey that to my own audience. It was like, here's an experience I went through where I said something that upon learning about it, I regret. I didn't know any better at the time. That doesn't excuse it, but that doesn't, I didn't feel as though I did something wrong out of malice. I did something wrong out of ignorance. And rather than getting upset about it and like lashing out at the person, right, like, hey, I'm an advocate, man. Like, I'm on right, your side, which
I'm an
is
ally,
which is yeah, a lot of how that happens, yeah, is like, I'm one of the good people. And it's like, that's true. That is true.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean,
it doesn't mean you can't do harm.
You don't
also
fuck up right, along the way. Right. You don't talk. I mean, like, the thing is to listen and to try and speak to those issues, to those messages, to those people, trying to promote those messages, those people, but not speak for them. And so, like, I guess that to summarize it is to listen. Like, that's what I try and do, and to listen. Like, how can I help you? How can I, and that you is in a general sense, yeah, like, is a message, is a, just generally speaking, like, what can I do from my space that it's going to make it better for your space?
And just like to build on that too, there is definitely sometimes in the good intention of pursuing that mm-hmm, goal, people will begin to put that expectation of being taught about stuff on marginalized folk and say, well, you have to teach me what all the bad words are.
Right.
You have to tell me how to help you.
Right.
And to some degree, you have to be a self-starter if you are going to help people who are in identities, who have identities that aren't yours, who are oppressed or marginalized. And that means doing research on your own. Mm-hmm. Like, it means finding voices inside of those communities that are already saying, here's how you can help us. And one of the most frustrating things for me that happens again and again and again, like in racial discourse in America, is like, why aren't black people doing anything about black-on-black crime? My dude, we are doing so much about black-on-black crime. If you pay attention to those people who are inside of communities, you know, trying to advocate for, you know, getting guns out of neighborhoods, for, you know, after-school programs, for faith-based programs, for all of this other stuff, like, you could go help those. You could help those people. You
yeah,
could go if you actually gave a fuck. You could go there. You could donate things. You could donate time and money. And that's true for pretty much every marginalized group in our country. It turns out people are pretty good about trying to advocate for themselves. People are also really bad at listening to people when they're advocating for themselves.
Yes.
And so, like, one of the things you can do if you're in a position of power is to look for people who are desperately trying to get their message across and share your platform with them. It takes work on your side. You will not receive an email because they don't know what your email is, because they didn't come through the same channels that you came through. It means going into communities, going to events and stuff like that.
And
following people who you normally wouldn't across social media and all that stuff.
And it's not about it, like, and sometimes it's not about, like, it coming through your own voice, right? Like, so it's like, sometimes as someone that has a large platform, like, I don't want to take advantage of the fact that, like, you know, like, a couple of years ago when it was, like, social justice warriors, like, I just want to make fun of that, right? Like, to try and, like, sort of reclaim that idea. Like, I don't want it to seem as though I'm like, it's cool to, like, talk about those issues,
yep,
in order to, like, seem like, I'm cool in those communities, right? Like,
that shit
and so
sucks.
It's yep, bad.
Yeah.
And so, like, and that's earlier, that was, like, one way that you felt like you could help. But now, like, the more responsible way to help is, like, to listen to, like, how can you use your platform to boost those people, not to use those voices through your own voice,
right,
to make it seem like you're hip, you're cool, like, you understand these communities. Like, you actually don't. You're just using that to make it seem
yep,
like you're just co-opting a community in order to boost your own voice. The actual way to do it is to listen to those communities, and how do you make those people rise above you or to be on the same level as you.
This is a thing that's, like, wild, but so I've been coming to PAX for the last few years, and a thing that happens often is people go to a bar that's, like, a game industry bar. It's not a game industry bar. That would be weird. It's a bar where people happen to come.
It's a bar that, like, game industry people know.
Yeah.
They don't tell people about it, but it's a bar you go to, like, you'll see the people you want to see.
Right.
You'll, like, make the connections you need to make.
It's a networking situation.
Yes.
And last night I was there and saw, like, young queer brown critics and game developers talking, and it was, like, it really was overwhelmingly positive for me to see that, because traditionally that's a space where it's like, oh, like, lots of old white dudes who've been in the industry for decades talk and have whiskey and, like, hang out, and, like, that's
right,
cool, like,
right,
everyone's allowed to socialize. But being able to see, like, oh wow, like, there's a younger generation than me that is making their way in, that are able to move through these spaces now, is, like, genuinely a really powerful thing. So shout outs to the people who were there, shout outs to the people who are all hustling, because, like, everybody is working their ass off.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody in this room who's working on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's, if I would add anything, it's that if you're sort of a genuine ally, and this is a thing, I can obviously only speak as a queer woman, not as a person of color, but showing that you actually give a shit about these things and that you want to make a space safe for people. Because I can't tell you how many times I've walked into a room and felt like, okay. You know, felt intimidated or felt like, I don't know what's on these people's minds or that kind of thing. So, like, actually sort of making a welcoming environment for people and, like, showing that, like, oh, you know, if your buddy makes, like, a sexist joke or a racist joke, just being like, no. That will say so much to a person who is looking for that and is looking for, like, a safe space and looking for somebody they can just hang out with and not have a thing, basically.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Dark bucket, or do you have something else to add?
I was just like, I agree with Danielle also as a queer woman. I think it's just important to be able to feel like you're being heard or being seen, or like, I feel very blessed to be working at Waypoint and like two queer women on the team, you know, and like, it's really awesome. And not everywhere is like that. And I think just working to make more places like that is important. Moving on to the dark.
I have a second one too.
Well, we're gonna go dark.
All right.
Or we can say light.
I can put it back in here. No, we'll mix
gone.
It all in.
Okay.
All right. Okay. On the 6 to 7 repeated topics that make up the video games discourse, which most makes you open Twitter and say "fucking this again," and I'm just gonna bring up Austin's famous tweet. You ever see a take so bad, you immediately go to sleep.
Yeah, what is the most, I don't know, I'm curious, like, I think
it changes every week.
It does.
Yeah.
And all of them make me open Twitter and say, fuck this.
Fuck this.
That's just Twitter every day, that man, right now. 2017, yes. Like last year that applied a little bit more, but like right now it's just like, open, shut.
Grand opening, grand closing. Oh. I think the most, like, boring... Okay, it's review scores right now for me.
Yes,
like,
sure,
after the Dunkey stuff this year, it's just, like, we've had this conversation so many times, and it's really frustrating. I mean, this is a problem with the games industry in general, is especially on the criticism side, mm-hmm. on the coverage side, is really poor institutional memory. Like, outside of a handful of people, there are not many people who've been on the games journalism, games criticism side for long enough to bring up new generations and let them know we've already had this fight, we've already had this debate, here is like what happened the last time we had it. We need to get better at that. Like, I can count on one or two hands the number of people who have double-digit years as game critics or games journalists. And on one hand, it's cool to have a very always young like scene where like, oh wow, it's like somebody else who's 23, like cool. Like, but there's not, it's not, I'm not 23 to be clear.
I'm not 23.
What?
I thought you just turned 23.
30 under 30. Let's go. But the opposite side of that is like there's not that much institutional knowledge. Like, I wish Jeff Green was still in games journalism.
Your dad.
Well, right.
Canonically, I have several dads.
Sorry. Right.
Third dad? Four dads.
You got a lot of
family
dads.
Can just be
all dads.
Why limit yourself to 1, 2, 3, 4 dads, man?
Exactly.
Dads be dads.
I'm not going to limit myself. All right. Yeah, I think that's for me the worst one is game review scores. What else? Anyone else have like a shitty? How about in the audience? Is there a debate that people hate about games? Yeah, ludonarrative dissonance or ludology versus
our games are. I just heard that one. Oh that yeah, bad. That's a.
I think the mechanics actually.
They're interactives. Excuse me.
Interactivities.
Pardon me.
I thought it was Gilms.
Gilms. Sorry, yeah. Gilms.
Gilms.
Is it like mechanics or story more important?
Oh,
like,
how about if I open Twitter and it says Ian Bagost and then I just close it.
And it says, oh, he likes it better when there's nothing in a game at all.
He posted an article like, nah.
Gotta go. God. Shout out to Ian Bagost. Was this the one you... This one's stuck.
Oh, no. These are actually Post-it notes. I bought these at Target. Shout out to Target.
Yeah?
Spent right, a lot of time there this
I
weekend.
I got this one unstuck. What's good? After Mass Effect Andromeda launch, people cited characters not being as, quote, well-written as classics like Garrus. But is Garrus a well-written character or likable? Oh, sorry, I think it's probably written as, but is Garrus a well-written character or likable? Mm. In games that encourage us to make relationships with characters, can their quality get judged objectively? I don't think anything can get judged objectively. I'm that dude. I'm the one who's going to say that forever. And I definitely think that, like, I recently went back and watched a lot of Mass Effect 1 and 2, and I think that, like, there's definitely a degree of nostalgia, rose-tinted glasses, mm-hmm. in terms of the quality, the overall quality of writing in that game. But I also put 70 hours into Andromeda and just genuinely like the characters in the first Mass Effect games more.
Right.
What about you? Do you think that there's a way to judge, like, well-written games?
I mean, that's tough because, right, like, the games get the advantage of your inactivity, the time you spend with them, and so the judge, like, if you were to, like, read a game on a script, that's different than, like, interacting with that character, with that game. Like, the adventures you go on with a character are different than just, like, they have snappy dialogue, like, right. They had a good moment, and so games just work differently as a function, as a medium, than just being, quote-unquote, good characters in the way we traditionally judge that.
I think being memorable is actually a huge part of this, at least for me. You know, yes, sometimes nostalgia gets kind of brought in with that. Sometimes the rose-tinted glasses get brought in with that, but I could tell you all about the time I had with Liara. That's super memorable to me,
Hell
so
yeah.
I think that's worth something. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I did the full poly thing through all of those games. I played like 5 times. I've slept with everybody. It was great. I love them. Thanks. Now you know that about me. Okay.
I think you're right. Like, the fact that those characters are memorable is really important and does say something about them. I think the characters in Mass Effect Andromeda could have been memorable. Like, as a sketch, they're all really interesting. And then the delivery just didn't stick with me that much. And I think the other thing there worth thinking about is what we mean when we say, like, good writing. So obviously I do think that all judgment is subjective, but that doesn't mean that I don't think that we can kind of put on different judgment style hats. When I think about something like Kentucky Route Zero or What's Eating Edith Finch, I'm like, oh, I'm in my literary mode. Like, ooh, look at all these good words they're using. Like,
right.
Look at how they're describing issues of labor by way of skeletons.
So would that be like a top hat that you're wearing at that point?
Yeah, I'm wearing a top hat in that scenario.
Okay. Or even like a game like Pyre where, like, it's that game is like efficiency in communicating, like, lore, world building, where you read a piece of dialogue and it communicates like X, Y, and Z, but then if, like, they're... I imagine the next couple of years, like, a bunch of games are going to copy the mechanic of, like putting the analog mouse over, like, a word that's like, hey, if you want to know the lore, like, here's the extra stuff, right?
And,
like, once you saw that, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, right, like, that's how you do this.
But even that game, Pyre is really good at communicating stuff about the world because it will communicate scale or, like, majesty or something just in the naming conventions, just in the phrasing.
It leaves your imagination to imply a lot of things.
But, like, Mass Effect 2 is just good genre writing. It's just, like, poppy. It's like a good television show, and that's not like. Have you seen the CSI Mass Effect 2 edits on YouTube? They're incredible. It's like CSI Miami with like the track comes in. And it's like, wow, that one. You know the
okay. But, no, like, but I trust you. I believe
like,
it exists.
Garrus says like some funny.
Let's go
shit.
Play golf.
Let's go play golf. And there's like when he pushes the guy out the window, he's like hole in one. Wow, like it does that thing. That's a famous Garrus quote, of course.
Of course.
But like. That is good writing, even though it's not, like, making me think deeply about the nature of, you know, the world.
Well, that's how that works, right? Like, that implies, like, you fill in the gaps on the deeper stuff, like, through, like, these simpler narratives. And, like, that's, I think it's part of what, you know, Mass Effect based on, like, a lot of 70s and 80s sci-fi. Like, it was light enough, it was heavy enough in the ways that it needed to be that you could fill in the stuff along the way or allowed players to imply what they wanted to see from those characters.
Remember Mass Effect 1?
Yo.
It had to do both of those things. It was able to do like goofy bullshit, and then also that moment when you meet Sovereign for the first time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. This comes in. This one says, "How can I apologize for Mass Effect Andromeda from an apologetic BioWare dev?"
It's probably not your fault. Yeah. Also, like everything I've heard about that is implies to me that I don't think it was any one person's fault.
It was like
and
two
most big
fault.
Games
at
are
least
not.
Two, at
you
least.
Know,
at least two.
I like learn from the mistakes of that game. Go make me a new game. Like we're good. Just keep hustling.
Go make me a new
Mass
Effect.
Whatever you work on next, try to figure out what you think went wrong with that project and how to address it. Whether that is something in the game or like, hey, management is fucking us. Figure out if you can speak up about that or organize people, maybe.
Yeah, I really deeply sort of feel for these kinds of questions. Yeah. I have a lot of friends who worked on a game that I don't think is particularly great, and I also know how hard they worked on it, and I never want to, like, you know... There are times where clearly maybe a team's passion is in another place, or there's times where clearly a team was mishandled and not treated well by management, or not treated well by a real jerk at the top. So, you know, that happens. I have my sympathies to you, and also, yes, please make some more cool Mass Effect.
So I think we're going to do one more question.
No,
I'm looking
for an extremely quick one.
No, I'm doing three quick ones. Ready. Danielle, do you like dogs?
I love them. I have a really crappy dog, but he's very cute, and I love him.
Patrick, Chrono Trigger or Final Fantasy VI?
He's the wrong person to ask.
No, he's super.
Oh,
is he
not? Okay. Final Fantasy VI.
Danica, what is your favorite anime and why?
Final Fantasy VI.
It's a good one.
Oh, it's probably...
Actually, Chrono Trigger is the one that anime cutscenes.
Yes. It's probably from the New World, which is an anime based on a light novel, I think. And just because it's, like, really, really good.
Yeah, what was it I missed?
From the New World, or Shinsekai Yori.
Oh, thank you.
You know, lots of people like to use the Japanese names even when they are
no subs,
translated.
Please. Well,
No subs.
All right, on that note, on that weird side note that I just stumbled into and now I'm ejecting from, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you all for coming out.
Thank you so much.
If you have a question for the question bucket, you can send it to gamingadvice.com.
Yeah. And also just thanks everyone for supporting this weird thing that we've been trying to build for the past year. Like, we, same way when Austin and I were Giant Bomb, when we, all the things we did in the past, like, it doesn't mean anything without the people that...
Nice.
It doesn't mean anything without all the people that show up to this audience. It doesn't mean anything without you clicking on things. It doesn't mean anything without watching the videos. Like, it means the world to us that any of you show up and support the things that we do. So,
thank you so much
for showing up. So, give yourselves a round of applause.
Absolutely. Be
good and be good at it.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.